It's Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison. Alex Strofe with you until 7 o'clock as we talk. The Bucks are so back. What a weekend. I'm still riding that wave, still riding that high. Grayson Allen, the most hated NBA player this season, with 32% of reactions to social media posts about him being negative. What a stat that is. To talk some more Grayson Allen, we go to the phone line now. The First Midwest Bank talking text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, to chat with the color analyst on the Milwaukee Bucks radio network. You also hear him on these very stations before this program. I've talked to him enough today, but I guess we'll talk to him more. It is the great Ben Brust joining us here on Bucks at 6. Benny, nice little factoid I just mentioned there. Grayson Allen, the most hated NBA player this season. But the way he played in front of that hate this weekend in Chicago was unbelievable. You were on hand. Your perspective of Grayson Allen's emergence this weekend is what?
I mean, it's no different than anything he's faced. If anything, it's probably lighter than what he faced when he was in college. Every single arena he went into, he was booed in college. And so for one fan base to be upset with him, to think that's going to make a difference on his play or how he's affected, I mean, I think the most important thing on all this as well is you hit on it a little bit, of hearing from Drew Holiday and how much fun that the team had booing Grayson. I was sitting courtside and just looking my right, seeing the joy in his teammates, Chris Middleton, who's out standing up booing Grayson. Like, it was so much fun for the team. Anytime you're a competitor and you're on a team and you have the full support of a team, especially like guys like Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Giannis, who are world champions, that would give me confidence no matter where I played, no matter who I was booed by.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. They're having so much fun, and that's so good to see out of a team that likely has a chip on their shoulder, Ben, because they feel a little under the radar for being reigning champs, but they are having a blast, and that camaraderie is really important in terms of success. So it's been fun to watch that unroll. But Ben, we talked a little bit off the air today, earlier today, about Drew Holiday and the way he stepped up in games 3 and 4, both offensively, obviously, but also defensively, really shutting down DeMar DeRozan. You mentioned to me you were just terribly impressed by a guy that we know how good of a defender he is. He's the second best guard defensively in the NBA. But the way he was able to shut down DeRozan after what he did in game 2 really impressed you. Why was that?
Well, I mean, just from the standpoint of DeRozan only shot 9 field goal attempts in game 3. And, like, DeRozan had not shot single-digit field goals all season long. And then if I think the next closest was 11 in, like, 25 minutes in a game where it wasn't close. DeRozan's been a high-volume guy. And to shut down a high-volume guy where he got so frustrated that he couldn't even get a shot off is, A testament to what Drew Holiday is able to do on the perimeter. He's able to go under the screen quick if DeRozan's not within his range, which is usually where the ball screen starts. And then when the rescreen happens on the ball screen, he'll go under and meet him at the point of attack. And he's physical, and he's got an athletic ability where he can rise and not foul, but also deter shots. I mean, you also have to give credit to, I believe, what was a little bit of a schematic change as well. They were just up in DeRozan. I mean, the bigs, whether it be Lopez, Portis, Giannis, there was a huge lineup that they've had out there since Chris Middleton has gone out. And I think that big lineup, whether they've gone small or big, has really just thrown different looks and different angles at DeRozan. I mean, you enter in Javon Carter, he chases around Zach LaVine. It just became like, look, they woke the beast at game 2, and I don't think the Bucks really wanted to do the whole, all right, you know, tap the right arm, let's bring in the reliever, because I thought Wes did a pretty good job. I mean, DeRozan's just a really good shot maker. I think they wanted to put Wes on DeRozan as long as possible because it's a marathon, these NBA playoffs, and it's going to be a grind if they do close out on Wednesday against the Boston Celtics next series, because that's a really, really physical team that's going to wear you down in 7 games, and despite not having Chris, likely a good chunk of that, if not the whole thing, the Bucks are going to be competitive. They have Giannis Antetokounmpo. They have Drew Holiday. Bobby Portis stepped up. Brooke Lopez has been really, really, really good. I'd say the last 10 games since he started to get his feet underneath him post back injury. I mean, I'm confident in this team without Chris Middleton. Will it be hard to get it done? Absolutely. But you see the emergence of Grayson Allen, and we were talking Grayson Allen. How about three steals in the first quarter of game four? How about blocking shots in both of those games on the defensive end? In game two at home, I watched him help on the roller, which was Vucevic, and get back to Caruso or Kobe White and block a three after coming from help side. So the whole team is locked in from a defensive standpoint, and this is subtle. But I saw a Bucks social media clip where Drew Holiday won Teammate of the Year in the NBA for the second straight year. They closed the huddle with defense on three. Not team, not Bucks, defense. And that, to me, is what's been the key for the Bucks. Their defense has led to better shots offensively because they've been forcing tougher shots. They forced the Bulls to shoot over 30 threes in game three, which led to opportunities out in transition. They want to play fast. Like, I just think the Bucks have a great way about them right now, and I know it's the Bulls, but you need to have a great way about you regardless of your scenario of who's healthy, who's not, because it's the playoffs. And whether Chris is there or not, I'm happy to see that they're starting to click and having fun doing against the Bulls, because the next series, God willing, that they close out against the Bulls, which Zach LaVine health and safety protocols. I just hope he didn't give that to anybody on the Bulls, so it somehow comes back to Bucks. That's the scariest thing for me, is just staying out of health and safety protocols, keeping this good momentum rolling into the next series.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. Ben Brust, radio analyst on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network, as well as co-host of Scalzone Brust on ESPN Wisconsin, with us here on Bucks at 6. Alex Strofe hanging out with you. And Ben, you brought up Drew Holiday today, named the winner of the NBA's Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year Award. And in that clip, a part you didn't mention was Drew's reaction to receiving the award. He looked at his teammates and said, "I hate you all," after they yelled, "Speech, speech, speech." He goes, "I hate you all." And to that point, right, that's the camaraderie I was talking about that just makes me happy as a Bucks fan, Ben, because you realize these guys are meshing, the chemistry's so high, and I feel like at least the last two games they're peaking at the right time, which in any sport is so important. So the camaraderie is so darn important, and that was really funny to see Drew Holiday go, "I hate you all."
I mean, it's relatable. I can't imagine a lot of people in the audience have ever been, when they have been yelled at, "Speech, speech, speech." Like, nobody ever wants to give, a speech, on command. Drew's not the most, outspoken guy, verbally. He kind of keeps to himself, really smart guy, active in the community, but isn't, I mean this in the best way possible. Bobby's like a microphone guy. Bobby wants to be a part of attention and hype, and Drew just kind of goes about his business. And so I found that really funny. He's like, "I hate you guys," because obviously he loves them, but he's like, "I don't want to give a speech." And I've been there where people are like, "Speech, speech, speech." And I'm like, "No, I don't want to give a speech. I hate you guys." So, yeah.
I was just about to ask if you ever had to give a speech impromptu style like Drew did, where he said, "I hate you guys." You alluded to it, but you never have actually executed giving said speech.
I probably said the exact same thing as Drew. I probably was just "I hate you guys. I'm not doing this."
Fair enough. Benny, you mentioned Bobby Portis. I got to bring something up because I heard you and Dave Kane on the call on Sunday, Game 4, with the nickname Bobby Bifocals. Well, Bobby Portis has now put out T-shirts that say Bobby Bifocals on them. So the nickname has caught on. Did you come up with that? Are you going to be receiving some royalty on these T-shirts?
No. Marcus Johnson, Bally Sports Wisconsin analyst, has been trying to make sure that everyone knows that the nickname started with Marcus, and he's good with that stuff. So I will not take credit for that. I was more worried about Bobby getting the rosin, the powder, in front of me courtside on my suit that I just got from the dry cleaner. Now, I told Bobby, as long as you keep playing well, you can throw as much powder on me as you want.
So you're seating in the United Center because you were on the road, obviously, this weekend. So you were right in front of the powder, which players, you know, threw out pregame. And you said you kind of got bombarded in game four. Is that the case?
Yes, because game three, I was a little bit off to the side. Game four, I was right in front of it. And they don't, let me tell you, I thought it was a pregame thing. You know, everyone remembers, like, LeBron throwing into the air. Out of every timeout, they throw the rosin on a dinosaur, a T-Rex, like a toy T-Rex. And I want to find out more info of why the toy T-Rex. So I'm going to do some due diligence on that. But, like, they pour some rosin on a dinosaur, then they put it on their hands. Brooke Lopez, very, very gentle with the dinosaur. Just very, very gentle. A gentle giant, one would say. And then Bobby just douses the dinosaur with rosin, then puts it on his hands. It was a bizarre scene. I was kind of like, what the heck is going on with this dinosaur? But yeah, I will follow up with more answers on the rosin throwing on the dinosaur, but it's working.
I will be asking, and I may buy you, in that case, a toy dinosaur, depending on how this playoff run winds up. Ben Brust of the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network and Scal Zone Brust with us for a couple more minutes here on Bucks at 6. I want to ask about the starting lineup, because I know we talked about it last week when Chris went down, Ben. You know, who would enter the starting lineup? Is it Pat Connaughton? Maybe is it Grayson? But they went big. Two centers in Bobby and Brooke Lopez, as they already obviously had in the starting lineup, along with Giannis, and then the two guards in Drew and Wesley Matthews. So the starting lineup was different. But then we saw Mike Budenholzer in Game 3 go to what you alluded to previously with that four-forward or a four-guard set. I don't think he's getting enough credit, that's Mike Budenholzer, for the creative lineups he's throwing out on the floor. Do you agree?
Oh, I mean, look, I had such a fun time being courtside just to see how he was interacting with the guys from a substitution standpoint. One thing you'll notice is Javon Carter hangs out around the scorer's table more than anyone in the NBA, because Wes and Drew are kind of coming out at different times, and they want to make sure that Javon is checking one of the better defenders when Drew or Wes are out. And that's something that George Hill would do, but George Hill obviously out right now, and that is still to be determined if he's going to come back and when. So Javon was, like, always lingering around when it was going to be close to a media timeout, so that way he could grab somebody quick, and then they'd go to break, and it'd be extended timeout for one of the guards to get rest. So you see, you know, guard lineups, and one of the best things I think that has happened in the series is going big. Because here's what it's presented. Patrick Williams, the Bulls forward, is guarding Giannis. Vucevic, the Bulls center, is guarding Brooke Lopez. And that means Bobby Portis has been guarded by DeRozan or Zach LaVine. Bobby had a stretch where he scored, I think, 8 points in a row, as well as a stretch where he had 7 points, where he faced up DeRozan. He then decided, once he saw DeRozan, he was going to back him down, got to his left shoulder, right-hand jump hook. Then faced up DeRozan. DeRozan's ready for Bobby to back him down. Rise and fire hits it. And then next possession, Derrick Jones Jr., the thinnest guy in the NBA, is on him. Thinks Bobby Portis is going to go right at him. Jab, step, jumper. So, again, the big lineup has created mismatches for the Bucks to take advantage of on the offensive end. Now let's go to the defensive side. You have Bobby on Patrick Williams, Brooke on Vucevic, and Giannis on Caruso, or the other, say, wing, Javante Green, or whoever it is. That's where I think the Bucks had a big advantage of having Giannis sort of play rover. He blocked a couple shots. He was in help side when DeRozan would come off ball screen. So the big lineup has presented a lot of challenges for the Bulls on the offensive and defensive end of the floor, and I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Coach Budenholzer adjust from Game 1 and Game 2.
Yeah, we've talked about the depth of the Milwaukee Bucks all season long, and it was really on display in those last few games. Last one for you, Benny. We talked a bit earlier. The NBA playoffs always brings really fun factoids, right? As Mike Budenholzer is the Bucks head coach, every time the winner of Game 3 has won the series, ever since he's taken over the Bucks. It's just how it's worked out under Mike Budenholzer. You got any fun factoids you want to throw at me that you've got in that brain of yours?
Factoid? I'm not a factoid guy. I'm an analyst. I'm not a stats nerd like Justin Garcia.
You threw something at me earlier. I just can't remember what it was. I was trying to set you up. I'm trying to do radio
during
here,
this. I used it already. That's why I'm caught. So I just took a shot at Justin. I said DeRozan had shot single digits field goal attempts once the entire season, and it was game three against the Bucks when Drew Holiday guarded him. So I used up my factoid, and I leave the factoids to the nerds of Alex Strope and Justin Garcia, the pre-half and post-game hosts of the Bucks Radio Network.
Well, I don't think I'm as big of a nerd as Justin Garcia, but I will take that as a compliment because I have a lot of respect for Justin Garcia. I also have a lot of respect for you, Ben. Appreciate the time as always, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Or I guess Strofe. You're the host of it alone. Thanks, Strofe.